We liked it so good. We're going to do it again. Hey, welcome back. Yes, thank you again for being here. By the way, if you did not get a sermon outline on your way in, but you want one, these guys will hand you one. If you want to raise your hand, just let them know, hold your hand up, and they will put one in your hand. It is good to be able to worship corporately again with our church family. Before I get into today's message, let me give a little plug for where we're going next week and where we're going to be throughout the summer. Beginning next week, we're going to spend the remainder of our summer, June 7th, right on up through the middle part of August, in the book of John, looking at the different I am statements that Jesus made. Throughout John, Jesus identified himself through seven I am statements that he made in Scripture, and we are going to examine those, look at those, and hopefully walk away with a better understanding of who Jesus is based on those I am statements that he gives us in the book of John. So I hope that you will come be a part of that. I hope you'll look forward to being a part of that series. I'm excited about it and looking forward to spending some time looking at those statements of Jesus saying, I am, in the book of John. This morning, however, we are going to look at two different individuals in the book of Luke. We've been in the book of Luke looking at the parables that Jesus teaches us in the book of Luke. Today, we're going to look at two different stories. These are not parables. These are real stories of real people that took place. One is identified simply by a title. His title is a ruler or a rich ruler. The other is identified by name. His name is Zacchaeus. As a matter of fact, most people are very familiar with Zacchaeus, or at least know who he is, because there's a song named after him, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Yeah, it's all coming back to you now. So there are the two guys that we're going to look at this morning. And what we're going to do, and I've entitled this morning, Lessons in Gains and Losses, because what we're going to see are the gains versus the losses that Zacchaeus experienced in his giving his life or accepting Christ into his life, and the losses that the rich ruler missed out on, or the losses that that he experienced, the gains that he missed out on because of his refusal to give his life to Christ. So that is where we're going this morning. We're going to see what each of them gained, what each of them lost. And so that's the reason for a lesson in gains and losses. We'll begin this morning, if you are following along and like to take notes, by looking at the lives of similarities in contrast. These are two lives where there were some similarities that they had very much in common, and then there were some definite differences or contrast between these two men. So let's begin by reading each of their stories. The story of the rich ruler is found in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 25, and then the story of Zacchaeus is found in Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. So let's read first about the rich ruler in Luke 18. It begins with verse 18, and says, a ruler questioned Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Then in Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, we read about Zacchaeus. And it says that Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and he came down and he received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped, said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So, there are the two stories, two individuals. Let's look at the similarities and then we'll look at some of the differences. Here are the similarities between each of these men. As we read their stories, we see some things that definitely both of them shared that they both had in common. And the first thing we see is this: both were financially rich. These two men were what we would call tycoons. They had a lot of wealth. They had a lot of money. Both were incredibly successful when it came to material possessions, material wealth, when it came to worldly success. The last part of Luke 18:23 says that this ruler was extremely rich. So he wasn't just well off, he was very well off. He was very well to do, if you will. The same was true of Zacchaeus. Luke 19:2 says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and he was rich. So when it came to financial wherewithal, both of these gentlemen had more than their fair share. However, though they were rich in the things of the world, both were spiritually poor. They were both spiritually poor in the sense that although they were rich in the ways of the world, they were certainly not rich toward God. Neither one of these men had a relationship with Jesus. Neither one of these men were what we would call born again, or they were not in a relationship with God where they had been given new life or spiritual life. So although they were financially wealthy, they were spiritually deprived, spiritually poor. We know this because the rich ruler asked Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" And then Jesus ends up telling him, "Here's the one thing you lack." In other words, there is definitely something that you are missing, that you don't have, that you need to have where your eternal life is concerned. And the same was true of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a fraud. He was a cheat. He was a scoundrel. As a chief tax collector, he basically legally robbed people. He was under the rule of Rome, and he would give the Romans their taxes that was required by Rome from all of the people under their rule, but then he was also allowed by the Romans to take as much as he wanted for himself. And so he definitely cheated people, took much more than he needed to. He is called a sinner by those who knew him, and that's exactly what he was. He was a sinner. He was a man who took advantage of people. His legalized robbery of others had left him financially rich, but spiritually very poor. Another similarity in these two lives was they both encountered Jesus. So each of these men have an encounter with Jesus, right? Both get to have a one-on-one, personal, upfront, up close encounter with Jesus. The rich ruler gets to speak to Jesus face to face, gets to ask him a question, gets to ask him really the most important question you'll ever ask in all of your life, and that is, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" There is no more important question that you will ever ask than that question right there. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Your eternity is going to be a whole lot longer than your time here on this earth. And so what must I do to inherit eternal life is an important question. Getting the right answer to that question is everything. Eternity is a long time, and knowing where you're going to spend eternity is important. Zacchaeus, he too has a personal encounter with Jesus. He hears that Jesus is coming to town, has heard a lot about this man, has heard a lot about the crowds and the different things that he was doing. And so he wanted to get a glimpse. He climbs up into a tree. Jesus stops, looks up at him, speaks to him, says, "Today, Zacchaeus, I must come to your house." So both of these men have a personal encounter with Jesus. And then a fourth similarity is this, in that in their personal encounter with Jesus, both were given an invitation by Jesus. Both are invited by Jesus to follow him. The rich ruler is invited by Jesus to give up his worldly possessions, his worldly wealth, and come, follow me. Similarly, Jesus looks at Zacchaeus in verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 5, and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I must come to your house today." Both are given invitations by Jesus to come and follow him. And as the invitations are offered, the last similarity is this: both count the cost, or both counted the cost of following Jesus. Both the rich ruler and Zacchaeus had to count the cost of whether or not Jesus' offer to follow him was going to be worth it. Now, it is true that we are not given the full account of Jesus' conversation with Zacchaeus. I think Luke just kind of fast forwards to the end result of what took place with Zacchaeus. So probably there in Luke 19, between verse 7, when Zacchaeus came out of the tree and it says received Jesus gladly, and verse 8, where he basically it says he stopped, or the literal rendering was he took a stand. During that time is when Jesus probably went to the house of Zacchaeus. And so we know that there was a whole lot more said to Zacchaeus than, "I must come to your house today." Just those words alone were certainly probably not enough to bring Zacchaeus to this saving faith, or to his point where he's ready to commit his life to Jesus. But obviously, while at the home of Zacchaeus, Jesus tells Zacchaeus something very similar to what he told the rich ruler, that, "Zacchaeus, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to get rid of your idol of money. You're going to have to give me first prominent place in your life. I'm going to have to become your first love." And so both the rich ruler and Zacchaeus have to make a decision. They have to count the cost of whether or not following Jesus is worth giving up their grip or their hold on worldly possessions. And this is where the similarities between the two end and where the differences begin. Let's take a moment. Let's look at the differences in these two men. We've seen the similarities. Now let's see the differences. The first difference we see is that one walked away from Jesus grieving, while the other received Jesus gladly. One walks away, the rich ruler, after counting the cost, he walks away from Jesus. And it says he walked away sad or grieved. That's what Luke 18:23 says. "But when he heard these things," he heard what Jesus had to say was the cost of salvation, "he became very sad." He liked the idea of having eternal life. He just didn't like the idea of what it was going to cost him. He didn't like the idea of having to give up his wealth. He didn't like the idea of having to let go of his idol of money. What was required for him to put away was his first place, his prominence, his idol of money, and to replace that idol with Jesus. On the other hand, Zacchaeus, he received Jesus gladly. That's what Luke 19:6 says. He came out of the tree, he hurried down, and he received Jesus with a glad heart. And there was a gladness to him where receiving Jesus was concerned. And this gladness did not diminish once Jesus told him he too must put away his idol of money and give Jesus that first place in his life. Give Jesus his first and prominent spot of his heart. Which leads to a second big difference we see, and that is this: one was unwilling to let go of his possessions, while the other was unwilling to keep them. One was unwilling to let go of them, while the other was unwilling to keep them. The rich ruler did not want. He was unwilling to let go of his possessions. And this is why it says in verses 23 and 24 of Luke 18, when he heard these things that Jesus was requiring of him, he became very sad because he was extremely rich. And Jesus looks at him and says, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, or how hard it is for the wealthy to enter into the kingdom of God, because wealth has a way of deceiving us and thinking that this is what life is all about. This is what true joy and real happiness and real fulfillment and real satisfaction is all about. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, he wanted to have Jesus in his life to a point where he said, I'll gladly give up this worldly wealth. I don't want to hold on to these things at the cost of having Jesus in my life. And so while the rich ruler was unwilling to let go of his possessions, Zacchaeus was unwilling to keep them. Because what Jesus knew and he understood, and what the rich ruler and Zacchaeus had to come to grips with, was what Jesus said earlier in Luke as well as in Matthew, when he said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Either you're going to hate one and love the other, or you'll love one and hate the other. You can't serve both God and wealth. One of those has to be given up in order for the other to take first and prominent place within your life. And Zacchaeus was more than happy to let go of his possessions in order to gain Christ. He was happy to replace his idol of money and put in its place Jesus Christ. And then a third difference between these two was when it came to counting the loss of following Jesus. One counted the cost of following Jesus too high, while the other, Zacchaeus, counted the cost of not following Jesus too high. The rich ruler, he felt like Jesus was asking him to give up too much. And when he began to calculate the cost of following Christ, he decided the cost was too high. So what did he do? He walked away. Zacchaeus, however, he saw things just the opposite. He saw things very differently. Zacchaeus understood that by not giving his life to Christ, he would be forfeiting his soul. Therefore, the cost in Zacchaeus' mind to not follow Christ was way too high. Zacchaeus understood exactly what Jesus meant in Luke 9:25, when Jesus said, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits himself, or he loses himself, or he forfeits his soul? Matthew records the same thing in Matthew 16:26, saying it this way, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man gain in exchange for his soul? And to Zacchaeus, the cost of not following Jesus and forfeiting his soul was way too high. Which leads to the fourth difference. One saw worldly treasure as the most valuable, while the other saw Jesus as most valuable. One looked and said, this is the most valuable thing in my life. The rich ruler saw nothing more valuable than that which he possessed in his possessions of the world. This is where his heart was, and this is why he walked away from Jesus rather than choosing to follow Jesus, because the treasure of his heart were the riches and the pleasures of the world. Zacchaeus understood that Jesus was really far more valuable than anything else this world could offer him. And I think, honestly, when Zacchaeus began to count the costs, Zacchaeus looked and he realized, out of all the things that my wealth has brought to my life, there's something that's still missing. There's something that I still lack. There's something that is still missing and lacking in my life. All of his riches and all of the worldly pleasures those riches afforded him still left him empty and yearning for something more, something deeper, something richer, something more significant. And what he discovered was that something, or more specifically, that someone that he was missing was Jesus. And so Zacchaeus saw Jesus really as a far more valuable treasure than anything else in all the world. And so Jesus became the treasure of his heart. Luke says in 12:34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And the treasure of the rich ruler was his worldly wealth or possessions, and the treasure of Zacchaeus became Jesus. Jesus became the treasure of his life. And it was for this reason that one rejected salvation while the other received salvation. It's the final difference really here in these guys' lives is one rejected salvation while the other received salvation. The rich ruler walked away from Jesus rejecting the gift of salvation while Zacchaeus chose to follow Jesus and receive the gift of salvation. This is what Jesus says of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 9. "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham." Not just a son of Abraham physically, but more importantly, Zacchaeus became a son of Abraham spiritually. As it says in Galatians 3:7, "Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are true sons of Abraham." And that's what happened in Zacchaeus' life. He put his faith, trusted all of himself unto Jesus, and as a result, he received the gift of salvation. So while we see that there were some similarities, we see that there were, in response to Jesus, big differences between Zacchaeus and the rich ruler. And because their response to Jesus was so different, there was that which Zacchaeus gained versus what the rich ruler loses. So that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time, the remainder of our few moments here. We're going to do a cost analysis, and let's see who really made out better when it came to the gains and the losses, as we see what the rich ruler lost versus what Zacchaeus gained. A little spoiler alert here. Zacchaeus's gains far outweigh whatever the rich ruler gained in his rejection of Jesus. As a matter of fact, Zacchaeus's gains are great in comparison to the losses that the rich ruler had by choosing to reject Christ rather than receiving Christ. So let's take a look at the rich ruler's losses versus Zacchaeus's gains. Rich ruler's losses versus Zacchaeus's gains. Because we don't have a name for the rich ruler, I'm just going to refer to him as he. So when you see he, that's the rich ruler. And then we'll call Zacchaeus by his name. When comparing his losses to Zacchaeus's gains, here's what we see. We see, number one, that he lost forgiveness for his sins, while Zacchaeus gained forgiveness for sins. This loss versus gain cannot be overstated. Mankind's biggest problem is sin. Your biggest problem, my biggest problem is sin. We all have a sin nature. We all have a sin problem. And the biggest need we have is to be forgiven of that sin. And if we're not forgiven of that sin, because all sin ultimately is a sin against a holy and a righteous God, then we stand, every single one of us, guilty before this righteous God. And we stand to be condemned as guilty before this righteous God. And so we all have a great need to be forgiven. The world has a great need to be forgiven. When you look at the problems of the world, it can really be summed up in one word: sin. We're sinners. And you see all the problems that are going on in the world today, and all it does is scream sinful. Sinful man. Sinners who need to be forgiven. You know, I was recently talking to a buddy of mine who, by the way, is not a Christian. He's not a believer. Still trying to figure all that out. But he asked me, he says, "So what do you think about what's going on up in Minneapolis?" And specifically says, "Where does God fit into all of that?" And I said, point blank, rather blunt. I said, everything that's happened in Minneapolis screams, we need God. Everything happening there, sinful. Everything that this policeman did and the killing of George Floyd, sinful. Screams, he needs Jesus. He needs forgiveness. Everything that is going on, from racism to violence to looting to thievery, screams sin. And it all is a merciful reminder, we need forgiveness. And if something radically doesn't change in our hearts through a salvation that comes to us through faith in Christ, where we're given new life, where we're given new hearts, then we are only going to continue to see what we are seeing in the world today. And it won't end today. And it won't end next week or next month or next year until people give their life to Jesus Christ and there is a forgiveness of sin where we are radically altered and changed. Amen? Zacchaeus gained that while the rich ruler lost that. That's why Ephesians 1:7 says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sin, because it's only in Christ that our sin has been paid for. So it's only in Christ that we will have forgiveness of our sin. A second thing we see in comparing the rich ruler's losses to Zacchaeus' gains is this: he lost imputed righteousness while Zacchaeus gained the righteousness of Christ. The rich ruler not only lost on receiving forgiveness of his sin, but the rich ruler lost gaining righteousness, while Zacchaeus not only received forgiveness, but he gained righteousness. And a lot of times we don't understand the full picture maybe of salvation, but salvation is not just that we are forgiven of our sin. That is a blessing, but the fuller picture of salvation is that we not only need forgiveness, but we need righteousness. And the only way that we're going to achieve that righteousness is if it is given to us, if it's credited to us on Jesus' account. And that's exactly what we have. Because sin is a belittling of God's glory. Sin is always against God because it belittles his person, it belittles his worth, it speaks against his glorious person, his glorious nature. Righteousness is just the opposite. Righteousness seeks to give God his glory, give God his worth, worship him and honor him in a way that he is worthy and deserving of. And so salvation is about not only being forgiven, but it's about being made righteous in Jesus Christ so that we can rightly relate to God and give him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor that he's worthy of. And that is exactly what Zacchaeus receives and what the rich ruler misses, loses out on. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, he made him, God the Father made him, Christ the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that, here it is, we might become the righteousness of God. So through Christ, we receive, we have the very righteousness of Jesus Christ placed, given, put upon us. It's important. And Zacchaeus gains it while the rich ruler loses it. Number three, in the gains versus losses cost analysis, he lost reconciliation with God while Zacchaeus gained fellowship with God. By losing out on forgiveness and righteousness, the rich ruler really loses out on reconciliation with God, being put right with God, being in fellowship with God, experiencing the presence of God, which is really the greatest loss of all. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, he receives. He gains intimate fellowship with God, which is really the greatest gain of all. The whole purpose of salvation. The whole purpose of the gospel is to bring us to God. The whole reason why forgiveness is a blessing and the whole reason why righteousness, imputed righteousness through Christ is a blessing is because it brings us into fellowship with God. That is the real gain. That is what Zacchaeus gains. That is what the rich ruler loses. 1 Peter 3, verse 18 says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God." The greatest gain in all the world is the gain of living in and being in the presence of God and enjoying his person forever. Zacchaeus experienced this gain. A fourth loss versus gain is this: the rich ruler lost the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, while Zacchaeus became the very temple of God, as he became the very place where the Holy Spirit of God dwelt. To gain the presence of God in your life, as he indwells and empowers you to live out the life of holiness he has called you to live, is an amazing gain. And through acceptance of Christ, this is exactly what happens to every believer, is we become the very temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Speaking to believers, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" Because that's exactly what happens. It's a great gain that we become the very dwelling spot, the very temple in which the presence of God dwells. Zacchaeus gained this. The rich ruler lost this. A fifth cost analysis in the gain versus loss is this: he lost joining the body of Christ. Zacchaeus gained membership into the body of Christ. One of the real great gains of every believer that Zacchaeus got to experience is he was brought into the membership of the body of Christ, where we get to, in an amazing wonder and joy and strength and comfort, become a part of the church, become a part of the body of Christ, where we get to encourage each other and build each other up and support one another. And it is only through Christ that we are brought into membership of his body. Romans 12:5, "So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another." It's an amazing gain to be a part of the body of Christ, the church. Number six, he lost freedom from bondage to sin and the worshiping of vain idols, while Zacchaeus gained freedom to live righteously and to worship the one who filled his life with joy. The rich ruler, he lost being freed, or he lost out from being freed from under the bondage of sin and the ability to stop worshiping a vain idol that in the end would only disappoint him and leave him empty. He remained forever in the bondage of sin, and he remained forever trapped worshiping a vain idol of wealth and money, of possessions, worldly possessions that in the end would only disappoint him. Zacchaeus, however, was set free, where sin no longer was master over him. He was freed to live the way he was created to live and to worship the one who would never disappoint him, and the one who would only fill him with everlasting joy. Romans 6, verses 6 through 7 says, "Our old self was crucified with Christ in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." What a great gain it is to be freed from the bondage of sin. And I think, honestly, only believers, only those who are in Christ who have experienced the freedom from that bondage can say hallelujah to that. Non-believers, non-Christians who are still mastered by sin, they don't grasp the great gain that we are given through Christ, being freed from the bondage of sin. Number seven in the gain versus loss analysis is this: he lost abundant life, Zacchaeus gained it. Zacchaeus gained abundant life. John 10:10 speaks very clearly to the gain of abundant life that everyone in Christ has, as we are told that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, whereas Christ came that he might have life and have it abundantly. It's an abundant life that all who have Christ receive, and it is a loss of abundant life that all who reject Christ miss out on. Number eight in the cost analysis is this: he lost entrance into the kingdom of God, while Zacchaeus became an heir of the kingdom of God. The rich ruler loses out altogether on entering into the kingdom of God and experiencing the unspeakable joy of every precious and great promise that God has made available in Jesus Christ. He misses out on that, while Zacchaeus through Christ became an heir and a recipient of every great promise and joy that God has given in his kingdom. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." And that is exactly the gain in Zacchaeus' life. And then finally, in this cost analysis of gain versus loss, he lost removal out from under the eternal wrath of God, while Zacchaeus gained absolution, passing out of death into life. The rich ruler and his refusal to surrender his life to Christ, it left him forever under the eternal wrath of God as judgment for his sins. John 3:36 says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son has or will not see life, but will have the wrath of God abiding on him forever and ever." And Zacchaeus was removed out from under that wrath, and he gained complete pardon as he passed out of death and into abundant life. Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is no condemnation." None. No judgment. No condemnation. And Jesus says in John 5:24, "I say to you, truly, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and he will not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." The final assessment is the rich ruler loses everything. In the end, his rejection of Christ costs him everything. He loses because he chose to continue to worship the idol of money. He loses. And not only does he lose, but he loses big time. He loses everything. He chose the idol of worldly gain, which in the end is worthless, and it's really no gain at all. Whatever he thought that he was holding on to, in the end, he lost it all. To again quote Jesus in Matthew 16:26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" There is no profit when you gain the riches of the world only to forfeit your soul. On the other hand, Zacchaeus, he gains everything. Zacchaeus gains everything. In the end, Zacchaeus wins. His replacement of the idol of money with that of Jesus brings him great gain. He experiences great victory. Not only does he win, but he wins big. He wins it all. He chose Christ, which is real gain and the real treasure in all of life. Matthew 13:44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and he hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has in order to buy that field." Zacchaeus was willing to exchange that which was really no riches at all for the real treasure of having Jesus Christ. The application is real simple. The application is this. The point we're meant to see in this loss versus gain analysis: give away worthy idols to gain the true riches, which is Jesus Christ. An idol is anything that you treasure or love or is more important to you than Jesus Christ. Your idol may be a person. Your idol might be a spouse. It might be a husband. It might be a wife. It might be your children. Your idol may be yourself. You may be more important to yourself than anything or anyone else. It may be your health. It might be your well-being. Your idol may be your job. It may be your career. It may be material possessions and worldly wealth. It might be comfort. It may be fame. It might be honor. It might be prestige. Maybe it's notoriety. A good way to know what your idol is to ask yourself this question: what is the one thing that I can't live without? If it were taken away from me, whatever that one thing is, if it were removed from my life, then I could not go on. My life would end. I would want it to be over. I would want it to be done. I would not be able to continue on. Whatever you put in that place as that one thing, that is your idol. And the message that we learn from these two men today is, let it go. Whatever your idol is, whatever is taking a more prominent place in your life over Jesus, let it go. Because whatever you lose by letting it go, you will gain a thousandfold and then some with Jesus Christ. Let that idol go and let Christ be the real gain, the real treasure of your life. We're going to close our time together this morning with an invitation, with a time of response. If you are looking for a church home and you feel like God is leading you to Southmont, would love to receive you that way. We'll have some prayer warriors up here as well. And if you just need somebody to pray for you, we'll certainly pray for you. If you do come forward, we'll maintain our social distancing and praying for you, talking with you. If you've never given your life to Christ, if Christ is not the true treasure and joy of your life, would love to speak to you towards that end. Whatever it is, maybe God is laying on your heart this morning, we're going to ask you to stand. And as our praise team leads us, you respond according to how the Holy Spirit leads you.